Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I pray you can hear me well. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. I am so thankful to be with you this morning. Grateful that God has given me another day. Just a happy girl. Woo, hallelujah. And the word that God gave me for this morning's lesson was, some dreams you need to keep behind your teeth. You know, we are dealing with Joseph today. We're getting ready to get into them 12 tribes and how sometimes, you know, parents can create all kind of havoc with their children by showing favoritism. Well, this child, I like better than this child. You know, you know, we get so caught up in, you know, let me do for this child, but you don't do for the other. And, you know, we can't do that. You know, God loves us all, and he loves us equally. And we as parents, we got to love our children equally. You know, you can't give one child the big birthday party and give the other child $5. You know, you can't, you know, do for one that you don't do for the other. You know, my sons turned 30. They both went, I took one to Memphis, and it was just kind of coincidental in this particular situation. We had been coming back from Jackson from a funeral, and his birthday was coming up, and we just decided we're going to spend this day in Memphis. And we did, and it was fun. You know, from sadness to gladness, it was a bad year for us. The year he turned 30 was not a good year. You know, we had lost our loved ones, and, you know, the year before we had lost my husband. And so it was just rough, as they say. We went to Memphis, and we had a great time. We really did. We had a really good time. And so when my youngest son turned 30, he went to Memphis again. And, you know, had a good time. You know, you got to be willing to just get up and move because life is too short. But don't show favoritism to your children. And always make sure that you treat them equally. Don't love one child more than you love the other one. You know, we got to speak life into our children. We got to have a glorious moment. You know, we got to bless the Lord at all times. We got to move forward in our lives. Move forward in our word. Just move forward, knowing that God is with us wherever we go. I'm just grateful today. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to move forward with you this morning. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for another day, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to move forward in your holy and divine word. Lord God, we just thank you that all is good because you are good. So, Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you is all I can say this morning. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for this message. And, Lord, I just ask you to just give me strength Give me strength, Lord. And guide my footsteps, Jesus. And help me to stop this song, God. Help me to stop what it's not supposed to be. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up this word. And I thank you for it. And ask you, God, guide and lead me. I ask you to forgive me for anything I may have said, done, or thought, God, the divine majesty, or against your people, God. So, Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you to lead us, guide us, increase as I decrease, Father God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And I just give myself away, Lord God, for you to use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so in our word today, including yesterday, you know, we talk about jealousy. Jealousy. We had a family kind of jealous of each other. We had some brothers that were not feeling their brother. They were not feeling him at all. You know, he did not want to. Whew. You know, he, what am I trying to say? Lord, give me the clarity. Let me just go back to yesterday's lesson, because I forgot that I read today's lesson, you know, on yesterday also, and got my stuff ready, so it's still in my mind. But when we were in yesterday's lesson, we got who belonged to who. We got some begot from Esau's side, from the Edomites. You know, Jacob, who was scared. He was scared to go and meet his brother. Because, again, favoritism. You know, one parent loved the one more than he loved the other. And vice versa. Mom loved Jacob. Dad loved Esau. And what happened? Jealousy. To the point where one conned his brother for a bowl of soup, conned him totally out of his birthright. Then mom, loving one more than the other, took the blessing of her son. We got to be so very careful about how we treat each other and what we do. Love should never fail. God loves me. God loves you. He loves us. And he wants the best for us and from us. God wants our very best. And so many times we kind of give God what's left over. Oh, well, I guess I'll go to church today. It's Sunday, and I almost grandmama coming back out of the grave. Telling me, girl, you know you're supposed to be in church. You know how we raised you. You know, I don't want mama calling me, talking about, did you go to church today? And I'd say, no, I didn't go to church today. And why didn't you go to church? Because then I got to answer all kind of questions. You know, we get caught up in that kind of situation. And then we have a tendency to get jealous. And we got to tell everybody. Some things, as my mother and my aunties used to say, some things you take to the grave. There's just some things you don't have to tell everything and everybody. Unless God opens the door and says, I need you to speak this word. Because it's going to help somebody. But if God don't tell you to speak it, keep it behind your teeth. Our dreams are for us. Someone else, God will tell you. But Joseph, being Joseph, he was kind of a little braggart, too. Smart as a whip, but kind of a little braggart. Because he was loved. He knew he had his father's complete and total attention. His mama had died. He had his baby brother. And so he was, his brother Benjamin was special. But Joseph was really special. He was 17 years old. So he had his dad for 17 years before his baby brother came along. At least that's kind of what we catch it from the word. He was 16, 17 when his mom died. And his older brothers couldn't stand him. Because they had dealt with him all these years from the time he was born. They were older. Because remember, Rachel didn't have a baby until she was fairly older. So these brothers were older. And this little big brother of theirs, this baby brother of theirs, coming along just something else. A battle tale. Tell on you. You know, and they say he was dropping a dime on his older brother. And they couldn't stand his little self. And then it really irked them. Because I'm sure that Leah made it known that their dad loved Rachel more than he loved her, even though they were sisters. The kids are cousins and brothers. That just doesn't even sound right. But anyway, they were cousins and brothers. First cousins and as well as siblings. And they liked each other. Because dad showed favoritism to Joseph. Because he loved Joseph's mom. And Joseph was an answer to a prayer. I guess they put it on the altar. You know, but the bottom line is causing hatred. These boys should have loved each other. They should have loved each other. But because they're bad, they didn't. And so as we go back into the word, it says this in Genesis chapter 37 and 38, which is where we are today. We're going to talk a little bit about jealousy and how we need to keep our tongues behind our teeth. We don't need to tell everything to everybody, even family, because you can cause resentment. You can cause so many things to go on. That sibling that has more than others always talking about what I'm teaching. Well, I'm doing this, that, and the other. Tongue behind teeth. You don't have to tell all your dreams. Because then when somebody else walks away with your stuff because you opened your mouth and said what you were going to do and they did it first. Don't get mad. It was on you for opening your mouth. There's just some things that God does not want us to share. That's why we have to go to God. Before you open your mouth, go to God. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. His father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. God said. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Because remember, he had worked 14 years for Leah, worked 7 years, and married Leah and Rachel. But Leah started popping out babies right away. Rachel did not. The maids had babies. Rachel did not. So, finally, God answered Rachel's prayer, but he had closed the wound because of the fact that Joseph loved her more than he did Leah. So he gave Leah children. But Leah, thinking that he should love me because I've given him all these sons and a daughter, resented her sisters. I'm sure Rachel did some stuff. You know, you think about it, bargaining with about your husband with your sister because your sister's son got something that you wanted. Come on now, you think about this. Well, I'll give you one more to it in. And yeah, that one night, made another baby. Because Leah was fertile. But Rachel was not. Rachel died in childbirth. Some resentment in this family. Jealousy in this family. Anger in this family. Because of favoritism. And so, Jacob loved Joseph. Joseph was his baby before Benjamin. And so he loved him a lot. That was his heart because he had lost his mama. He had lost Rachel. He had lost, that was a part of his heart. He loved God. Now, don't get me wrong. He loved God before anything. But he loved his son. And it tells us. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, understand, all these guys are a lot older than him, but they hate him. It's hard to know that your big brothers hate you. And they not only your big brothers, but they your first cousins, half-brothers, first cousins, a majority. There were some that were just half-brothers on their daddy's side. And as we come up down, it says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheep in the field. Then behold, my sheep arose and also stood upright. And indeed, the sheep stood all around and bowed down to my feet. Oh, you know that made a man. And then it goes on to say, and his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more than his dream, for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon, but even the stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers beating the flock of Shechem? Come, send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flock, and bring back word to me. In other words, he had made him his little spy. So he sent him out of the valley of Abron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flock. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let's go up to Dothan. So Joseph went out to his brother and found them in Dothan. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against them to kill him. Now, you think that through. The first murder was a brother against a brother when Cain killed Abel. And now here we go, brothers plotting to kill another brother. Evil had come back into the world. Even after Noah, evil came back into the world. And it says, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall save some wild beasts and divide him we can see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And now Reuben is sitting here in this bunch. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat. Now, this is some hard stuff. They're going to throw him in a pit. Then they're going to turn around and eat. Don't give him no food now. You in the pit. We ain't liking you right now. We wanted to kill you, but our brother said he couldn't. So we're going to eat, and you're going to stay down there. Now, understand how they, just think about how they look. Sit down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels and spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brother, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Judah was a mess. I'm just saying. We all understand that the lion came from Judah. We understand that the mighty lamb came from Judah. We understand that our Savior, the bright and morning star, came from the lineage of Judah. But Judah was a mess. And you'll find out more as we go through this word. Judah was something else. Ooh, he was something else. And as we continue in our word today, because like I said, so Judah decided, let's sell him. And so Judah said to his brother, what profit is there? Kill our brother and conceal his blood. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now understand, this is still, even though to us it's harsh, and it was. But again, didn't keep his mouth behind, tongue behind his teeth, causing resentment. Dad didn't keep his love from being shown, and I'm sure he would be how much he loved Joseph. He and I put his tongue behind his teeth. And now the brothers saying, you know what? The money, get rid of his little self. Now, understand, Reuben is not in the midst of this. This is Judah and the rest of the brothers plotting to sell him. And so they sell him. Now, Reuben comes back to get him out of the pit. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. He tore his clothes. He's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, he knows. They are up a creek. And let's see what his soul's going to say. The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? One more time. Because, you know, Reuben had already done some dirt. Remember what Reuben did yesterday's word, where he decided to sleep with his daddy's concubine, with Bela. You know, he slept with his dad's concubine, which would have been like a stepmom. You know, so Reuben knows he already in the doghouse. And now he done lost his little brother, too. He knows, I'm going to get cursed. Dad's not going to bless me because he thinks I done all kind of stuff. Well, I have, but still. You know, and also it was Reuben and Simeon that killed all of the folks in Jacob because of demons. So Reuben's done some stuff. So now Reuben was trying to get back on dad's good graces. And now he can't because the boy is gone. And I'll read this again. Then Reuben returned to the pit. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. And I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goat. dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? They already know it's his son's tunic. This day is this our brother's tunic, but is this your son's tunic? Come on now. Just even in they deceit, they had a little snideness in there. Is this your son's tunic? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. This his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So, it's about to begin. But let's go back to Judah. Let's just tell him, Judah, who was, again, a man. I'm just saying, Judah was not all that. Judah was something else. So let's read Judah's story. And it came to pass, chapter 38 of Genesis, and it came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Ahirah. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. Now understand, God said, do not give your daughters Canaanites. And he married her and went into her so she conceived and bore him a son. And he called his name Er. She conceived again and bore him a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son and called his name Shelah. He was a Chezeb when she bore him. He was at Chezeb when he bore him. Then Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord healed him. And Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and marry her and raise up heir to your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he admitted on the ground lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Therefore, he killed him also. Use birth control. So I ain't giving her a baby. Nope, not going to do it. Because it'll be my brother's and not mine. And so, no, I ain't going to do it. So now, understand. All Judah has is his youngest son, Tia. And so, then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow. Now, think this through. Remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah is grown. But he said, lest he also die like his brother. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now, understand. She is still young. She's young. Now, she had been married to his oldest son, who was wicked. God took him out. The youngest son, the next son, was using birth control when he wasn't supposed to. When God told him, no, God didn't tell him, but his dad asked him to give his brother an heir. The first child would have been his brother's, but the next child would have been his. But he wasn't feeling that. And so he died because he was wicked too. And now all Judah has is his last son. And he's not trying, he's thinking that it's a woman's fault that his wicked sons are dead. So he's going to blame Tamar on the side. But see, understand, I love Tamar. Cause she tough as nails. Now, you done had her sitting here. She could have married. You know, you said, I'm going to give you my last son. So stay a widow. And it was almost like he was punishing her for his son's death. You know, but it wasn't her fault. She was being a wife, a good wife. And they was wicked. But Judah probably in his mind didn't see that and didn't see the fact that you wicked too. So sell your brother for 20 shekels. Come on now. So Judah made this girl a widow. Now let's get to the rest of it. Now in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was confident and went up to his sheep at Timnah. He and his friend, Ira, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. But she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please, let me come into you. But he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come into me? And he said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a place that we can send it? Then he said, what place shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord. Smart. Just smart. Because the signet and the cord was unique to whoever owned it. And your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her and she received by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside there and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he did not sign up. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also, the men of the place said there was no harlot in that place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be shamed. For I sent this young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played a harlot. Furthermore, she is without biology. He's hot. He's upset. Now, understand, she's not old. She can remarry. She is a widow. But you have placed her in perpetual widowhood because she's waiting for Shelah. But you know you're not going to send him to her. You're not going to do it. So you plan a game of keeping her a widow forever. Now, understand that she wanted to be a mother, too. So let's keep it going because, again, not right. And then it came to pass. And so then he said, bring her out and let her be burned. He about to burn this girl up. And her baby, you think that through. She was so angry that she had the gall to get pregnant that he was going to have her basically burned to death, burned alive to death. With the baby inside. So he was not only killing her, but killing the baby in her. Because he thought she had played the harlot. Which she had. Let's call it straight. She had played the harlot. But with you. Because you lied. You didn't do what you said you would do. So let's see what happened. When she was brought out, she said to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with her. And she said, please determine who these are in the court and Sarah, back at you, father-in-law. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous because I did not give her to Shelah, my son, and he never knew her again. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that the old twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened as he drew back his hand that his brother came out unexpectedly And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore, his name was called Perez. And we know that Perez is the ancestor of the Savior. Perez is where the lion comes from, his lineage. Afterwards, his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread. So, Judah did some stuff in his words. In Genesis 37, so that, you know, made the suggestion and put it in the atmosphere that they sell their brother. Again, didn't you get some honesty? Even if that was his fault, it was wrong. But again, God can make a wrong into a right, okay? And then the next thing, he tells his daughter-in-law, you remain a widow for the rest of your life, basically. But his daughter-in-law was like, you're not going to pull that on me. I got you. And she got him and had a child, a children from him, so that the lineage of Judah continued through Tamar, a woman who was tough and being black. And understand, when we get in the New Testament, Tamar is one of the names that is listed in the lineage of Christ. Thy women. You got Rahab. You got Tamar. And as we go forth, you got Ruth. Come on. Oh, yeah, you got Ruth. Then you got Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And then you have Mary, the mother of Christ. Five powerful women in their own right. Not always honest, but powerful. Of the five of the women, you know, you have one that was a prostitute, one that lay with her father-in-law, one that was a good woman, and that was Ruth. One that was an adulteress, and another that was a good woman who was married. Can use any of us for his will. And as we go back into some life lessons and a life question from our word this morning, and when we go to a life question, is how can I deal effectively with jealousy? And in Genesis 37, we read the story of terrible resentment and envy. Verses 3 and 4 tells us Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. As we know from reading the rest of the chapter, the brothers' jealousy grew until their only thought was about how to rid themselves of Joseph. So they did unthinkable. They sold their young brother into slavery. Think that through. Have you ever felt jealous of someone else's success? Maybe your neighbor has a brand new car, or perhaps someone at work got the promotion you desired. When situations like these stir up unexpected reactions within you, we just might have a problem. Jealousy is the emotion of extreme displeasure upon seeing someone else's good fortune. And it can poison good relationships, ruin our witness, and keep us from experiencing God's blessings. The Bible calls jealousy a work of the flesh. And we know that in Galatians 5 and 19. And it is possible to take control of a jealous attitude. Is it possible to take control of a jealous attitude? Yes. In fact, we need to deal with it so we may act as cruelly, or we may act as cruelly and unwisely as Joseph's brothers. Therefore, since God wants his children to take charge over these volatile emotions, let's examine some specific things you can do to gain victory over jealousy. The first thing is confess your jealousy. Gotta go to God. This emotion will always, always take your eyes off the Lord and fix them on some other person or object. This is at the heart of idolatry. Whenever you place a high value on something that you place on God, you put yourself under divine judgment. Repent of that sin immediately. Realize that you disagree with God. If the Lord chooses to bring some specific blessing into another person's life, then that is his prerogative. Your jealousy merely declares that you think you deserve the blessing more than the other person. Bring this disagreement honestly before the Lord and ask him to restore a godly perspective in you. Number three, thank God for what he's doing in your personal life. You may not like the point, but when you act, praise God, even if you do not feel it, you put yourself in a position to receive his blessings by showing that you truly trust his judgment. So we got to praise God for what he gives us. We got to thank him. And we got to thank God for what he gives to others. Lift up your brothers and sisters when God does something good for them. Ask God to place love in your heart for the other person. So often in scripture, the word anger follows the word jealousy. Do not allow jealousy to stir up malice and hate. Instead, learn how to rejoice when others receive blessings, even when you believe you should have received those blessings instead. In other words, I can't resent the person that wins the publisher's clearing house when I feel that I should be the winner. You know, we just can't do that. You got to be happy for the millionaire lottery winners, even though I don't play lottery. It's not my thing. You know, we got to talk and believe that God is in charge of everything. You don't know what blessings those people who win these things are needing. So we got to be happy for others. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Number five, keep your focus on God alone. Delight in him, knowing that he promised to give you the desire of your heart. Focus first and foremost on what he's done for you and on the promises he's made to you through his word. Always remember that God is God, and that is his prerogative to bless whomever he chooses. Get out of God's business. And our last life lesson in Genesis 38 and 10, the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Therefore, he killed him also. If we ever doubt that we serve a holy and righteous God who hates sin, we should remember Uri and Onan, the wicked sons of Judah. And our psalm this morning is from the ninth psalm, verses 11 through 20. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely his scorn Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. And as we go to Matthew chapter 13, and it says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no earth, no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. But the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Then anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And again, what did it say? A sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And again, when someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who sowed seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root for himself, but endures only for a while. And we know those folks that come to church, join the church, and you never see them again. Or they may come for a little while, and then you don't see them again. And it says, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, and some 60, and some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, meaning weeds, among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had grown and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want to send to go and gather them up. But he said, no, that's why you gather up the dead. You also uproot the wheat with them. Let both go together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the dead and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. And a couple of life lessons from Matthew. And the first one is this. In Matthew 13:12, whoever asks to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. This combination of promise and warning typifies a great deal of God's instruction. In his words, he motivates us to experience life through both offers of blessings and declarations of caution. Be cautious. Watch as well as pray. And as we go into our last life lesson from Matthew, it says, he who Matthew 13:23, he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. Hallelujah. God wants us to hear, understand, and put into practice his counsel. And if he doesn't see us as vaults into which he hides his word, but rather as gardens in which his word can sprout and grow. And I say to those that are evangelists, get out of the four walls. God has plans for you. Get out of the four walls. You got to preach to the masses. You got work to do. Just as God has given me this, I guess this is an evangelical mission. It's to spread his word all over the world. So whoever hears it, gets it. And as we get ready to get into our prayer for this morning, inspire me. God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:21 NLT. Creator, you are the most innovative being that exists. Since I was made in God with a unique creativity that doesn't have to look like anyone else, inspire me today to see the goodness around me. When I am lacking in an imagination, I will look to your creation and see the great diversity on display. There is no shortage of ideas in you, no lack of new approaches. God, in you I find the resources that the world longs for free of charge. There isn't an angle that you haven't looked at. When I am stumped, I look to you. Whether or not I feel like I need a fresh perspective, you have a new one to share whenever I ask. Today, Lord, I recognize that I do need a new view and aspect of creation I've never seen before. I want to consistently learn and grow in you. Open my eyes to your wonders expressed in magnificent ways. And the question is for this morning, where do you find inspiration? And I find inspiration in the word of God. And when I say God answers prayer, I've been looking for a bottle that I bought because it has times of the day that you should drink water. So I use it to make sure I get water intake in. And I had misplaced it, couldn't find it, had checked the dishwasher, checked everything, couldn't find this water bottle. And this morning, I was looking for something, and there it was. I had prayed about it. I had never prayed before. I said, Lord, help me to find my bottle, because I don't want to have to buy another one. And this morning, I found it. And all I could say was, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just a dream that was mine. I didn't share that I lost my bottle. But I'm grateful that God showed me where it was. And I found it, and I will be using it again because I'm grateful. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I didn't get Sister Carolyn's word yesterday morning, and I didn't get a chance to share it with you, but I want to share today's word because yesterday's word was for somebody, which I was able to share with them they were very, it helped them a lot. But today, let me share yesterday and today's word with you. Don't give up on a good tomorrow. Again, because of a bad yesterday, God can make all things new. Understand, Tamar had had some pretty bad yesterday. A wicked husband, another husband that didn't want to give her children, a father-in-law that was not going to keep his word, that was going to keep her in perpetual widowhood, but then be ready to burn her if she fell in love and stepped out of line. Again, don't give up on a good tomorrow because of a bad yesterday. God can make all things new. And he did. He gave her twins. Hallelujah. And in today's word, in everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Thank God for your good crop. Thank God that you have been sown in good ground. Thank God that you are new morning by morning. New mercies you will see in everything. Like my little red water bottle. Give thanks. But this is the will of God in Jesus Christ that I got to start drinking more water. So I'm thanking God this morning for this word. I'm thanking God for you. But I just say, you don't have to tell everything that God gives you in a dream. Some things are meant to be written down. And God will tell you when to share. So lines are open. If anybody that would like to speak, now is the time. As I pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. As Mother Valerie comes forth to talk us out, give us the word, and pray us out this morning. Mother, it is all you. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning, Mother. Good morning.
Good morning. Psalms 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise you. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, they were created. He has also established them from ever and ever. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds, fulfilling his words. Praise ye the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Praise ye the Lord, for it's comely to give praises unto our God. God is good all the time. And the story of Tamar, that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Tamar didn't do anything wrong, but yet she was accused. And I like it that she went to her father and told him that she was with child with this person, and he repented. And if he did repent, she didn't die. She lived happily with her child because he knew he was wrong. And it's a great man that will repent.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. And he had a lot to repent for because he was the one who got healed to sell his brother. So he has some repentance. And he did.
Amen.
He repented for at least Tamar. Joseph, we'll find out later on. We got a lot of word to go through to get to that. I'm excited because this is some of my favorite words in the Bible. The story of Joseph And yeah, so anyway, join me tomorrow, everybody. We're a little bit over, but I thank God for all of you. I'm excited. We got a lot of great word coming up in Genesis, and so that the rest of the word can get into to Deuteronomy and get some laws in Leviticus, you know, just how to live right. And then, you know, we're going to get some more, you know, as we go from Exodus to, you know, Deuteronomy in these five, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And then we get into my favorite book, Joshua, because y'all know Joshua is a, he's my guy. I love Joshua. So anyway, we have one more caller, and then Mother, we'll have you pray us out.
Amen.
And hoping that it will let me allow you in, caller 3548, because the show actually is over, and it looks like it is not allowing you in. So all I can say is 358. There you are. You are, your line is open, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on this morning. It's good to hear everybody's voice. I just wanted to say praise the Lord on today. Even through the midst of any trial, tribulation, and storm, continue to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord going in. Praise the Lord going out. And when you are on the out there in those environments, God sends us out there because his praises go forth and the blessings come down. And so when we praise before people, evangelizing with a smile on our face, that gives them hope. So continue to praise the Lord, evangelists, and all ministers and pastors and prophets and prophetesses and teachers. Praise the Lord on today. God bless y'all.
Amen. Thank you so much. Pray us out, Mother.
And Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you. We want to give you praise for forgiveness of all sins. We want to thank you for another beautiful day. Even when it's raining, it's a beautiful day. And the sun is shining today. You woke us up. It's a beautiful day. We will praise the Lord. We will praise him always. And God, bless your people. Bless the meetings tonight. Bless the pastors and bless people that are not your people, that don't give you praise, because you reign on the just and the unjust. Thank you, Jesus,
amen,
for who you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise
amen.
Ye the Lord.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have a wonderful day. It is a wrap, Mom. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Be blessed.
Join us tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in God's way. It's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Oh.
No,
I'm finished. What?
No, I was just talking to Adam. Talking about how I just thought about have you ever seen any of Bobby Brown's videos?
Not anything recent.
I'm talking like
back in the old days, yeah.
Yeah, and stuff in the early 90s, late
80s. Yeah, what about him?
I just thought about his video for My Prerogative. You know what he looks like? He looks like a member of the CMB.
I don't know what that is. Okay.
Like they meant for like members of, like they look like members of the CMB, mm-hmm, right, and they just did a drive by. You know, some would say, hey, do you remember Rhythm Nation, how coordinated they were in that video?
Yes, I remember how coordinated they were in the video. But she like one of those. Yes, we're going to unite to become a reservation. Yeah. There's no lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not
Hey, it's not like you see two women swinging nunchucks.
This is true. But by the way, did you realize that you were banned in the UK?
Rhythm Nation was banned in the UK as a song?
Really? Why?
Dude, just repeat. You went dead.
Sorry. They said that, in the UK, you could not show nunchucks on TV, so whenever they were playing Ninja Turtles, which they also could be interpreting Ninja Turtles, had to be known as Hero Turtles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But did you say Rhythm Nation as a video was banned in the UK?
I don't know if it was banned in the UK, but I know that they could not show depiction of nunchucks.
Oh yeah, for that, because they were used as a weapon, as a blunt weapon, like knives are now.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mom, you ever heard of the term cheffing means? This is a Mom. This is a knife. Basically, you're stabbing. Basically, you're stabbing someone so much that they are.
Well, that is also the sound of Kevin.
Hmm.
As in, pretty much, the Met and all them see, the Met and all them see being so graphic that, yeah, knives, that they have to try to get rid of knife crime. Remember.
But people are not trying to do that, especially if you're a
cook. Yeah. I know. What's funny is they still talk to him. They still talk about the same Glenn Shatner when he I didn't think about it, but yeah. I already missed tickets for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
What you mean we missed tickets?
No, they just came out.
Okay, so they're already sold out?
Yeah. Really? They were flying. I was not prepared for that.
Let me see.
Go ahead, Chad. I don't think they should be. They can count. Okay, what are you doing, man?
What?
Yeah. Like, I know you're full of math. You definitely get like a haircut.
There you go, a big giant hair bump under my chin.
I know. Again, you know you could sell that with some oil. Yeah, I'll make it for these hairs to grow that much. Anyway.
So when will y'all want to go? When does it come out?
Comes on the 17th of February.
So when are we wanting to go?
But I promise, planning around it.
But if it's
I'd actually just wait a week and see if it dies down.
No.
There's going to be a worse.
Yeah.
So... Saturday won't work.
No, actually it should work, especially since I'm not supposed to work Sunday.
But I'm not sure if I'll be working that Saturday.
Well, I'm not going to fly up again.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, Danny,
what?
One, there's a difference between 3D for Avatar and 3D for a regular Marvel movie.
Did you see the 3D for the trailer for Avatar and like during Avatar?
Was it awesome?
Yes,
it was. I'm talking about the 3D for Ant-Man, the Ant-Man trailer during Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
And again, how did it look? See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like apparently James Cameron may have taught Marvel, no, this is how you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now he's under the...
So y'all control. Need to let me know which one y'all want to do.
Regular.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, regular.
Mm-hmm.
No!
The 3D actually will work because it's at 4 o'clock, whereas the regular one in IMAX is at 1 o'clock. And I'm in church. Because I'm not going to 7. Let me see what happens.
Hopefully the 3D don't make me blind like it almost did in Branson.
Well, Branson was the exception to the rule because we've seen 3D movies prior to that.
And so far, those tickets have not been sold at all. It's only one person.
Yeah, because people are buying at 3D shows.
No, again. Well, they basically thought 3D.
Now, we could also do just the one over here by us.
Yeah, with that more likely to see more marketing.
And they have a 3D.
Yeah.
3:30.
Okay. That's not nice.
3:30 over down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works. Like I said, usually I would say
and it's not sold at all either.
Okay.
So we can pick any seat we want.
Okay, cool.
I like the back row.
I know.
So which one do you like?
I actually try to go in for like the heart of the theater in the middle, but at the same time,
I want to get out. I'm going to be in the rail. I want to be able to get out after the movie.
This is his thing, though.
If you're in the middle, we're not going to be able to get out.
If let's say we're in theaters 6 and 7, actually more 6 and 5. We're in theaters.
It's not. I don't know what theater that is, but it's not.
That's one of the ones in one through first. If you're in theater 1 and 4, that was just a bigger theater. And you're
back row.
Yeah. Even more back row for Mark probably seems like a better choice.
So what do you want?
Well, I'm not sorry. But if we had to do with the local one, probably stick with
back row.
Yeah, probably. Even though your screen is gonna be smaller, you're not gonna really
We saw Black Panther on a smaller screen and it didn't bother much.
Oh yeah, because it wasn't 3D.
Well, we're talking 3D here.
I know, I was just saying, if you're doing 3D, you need to have that bright 3D space. Otherwise, you're just not going to see it. And it's also going to mess.
So are you going to pay for it?
You know what? I can't
pay. I mean, I'm just asking. Because, you want the IMAX.
I know.
But
we don't have IMAX money.
I'm just saying, it's so much more comfortable at the other one. That's the only thing. Because with the IMAX, you're like this.
Yeah, I know you're in tight quarters.
Yeah.
You do have points.
And honestly,
you like your reserve seating.
I like my reserve seating, and I like being able
to. Is that 3:30 show up? Is it showing?
No, it's a 3D. Got a fart.
No, I got it.
Oh.
Which one's the regular showing?
The regular showing?
Down the street.
On that Sunday, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just a plain, no 3D. 120, that messes me up.
And you're still in church?
Yeah.
Why is your church that long?
That's just, well, I don't want to take a chance of, you know, because that is a, I think that might be a third Sunday.
That's
not
third
sure.
Sunday.
Huh?
It is the third Sunday. This
yeah. Month. I don't know what we got going on, but I just don't want to take a chance. But I like to be able to come home, get comfortable, you know, change my clothes.
Ooh.
Why you don't want the 3D?
3D on a small screen. Remember Branson?
Not really.
When we saw...
Oh, your eyes got red.
Yeah, I really went blind down there in Branson.
I honestly don't care. I think you get a lot more in your face. I tell you what, we can do the local on Sunday when we all go together. But the problem is that the regular one is...
At a time when she's in church.
Is at 1:20.
And she's in church.
I mean, I can leave early.
They're that adamant about saying you can't spend time with your family.
No, it's not that. It's just my own personal thing. So we could do the 1:20. So far, only 2 seats have been sold. So next to the last row, I just like the last row because if people come behind me, I don't want them talking so much in that way. Adam, the reason why I like the last row is because there's nobody behind me. So I do the right in the middle of the screen.
This date is the
19th.
19th. That's a Sunday. If you have anything else important going on in the month of February.
No, I need y'all at church on the 5th. That's it.
The 5th?
Friends and family.
Hey, dude. 5th of February. Mom wants us there at church.
Friends and family, and I'm over the service.
We'll show. Now, we may not be there for the whole 3 hours.
I don't think it'll be 3 hours.
But, and also because it's Pro Bowl Sunday, so who gives a crap about Pro Bowl? There's not enough players are in it. Yeah, none of our players are in the Pro Bowl, which... I'm surprised Fields got left off. And? So he's supposed to play defense too? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, fellas. Is this it?
And our fans suck.
Is this it?
Which one?
Is this it? The Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. 120.
Regular showing, no 3D.
Like Avengers Secret Wars or Kang Dynasty. Well, the thing is, the NFL players don't have, the fans, the sports players don't have a crap ride.
Not sure.
Like, basically, it's like R&B, rap, in general. Would you consider that as, like, an urban type of thing?
I guess.
You know, wouldn't rhythm and blues also translate into rural, too, because of rock, the rock, the rock and roll?
I don't know.
Mom, you and Dad listened to R&B when it was, in its heyday. Dad's more. Because I think you pretty much listen to everything down in Kentucky.
Oh. Yeah.